a series I wanted to carry through this month on the principle of Thanksgiving, practice of Thanksgiving, the spirit of Thanksgiving. And today we're going to celebrate the communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, which is giving thanks. And today I want to talk about mercy and favor, and grace and favor. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. The other day I was thinking about all the stuff that's going on this past week with Jill falling, breaking her hip, and Isla having her situation at her house, and of course with Val, which, by the way, Val is leaving too, to go down to Florida. And not sure. See, you guys never ask me if that's God's will. You just go ahead and do it. You said that with such confidence. Gotta realize there's a thin line between confidence and self-control, total control, you know. Okay, so God may be saying he wants you to stay here through the wintertime with the rest of us. Same way with you, huh?
You're just jealous.
Not me. I love the snow. You can if you want to. That snow. That golf club will go right through that snow. Rudy knows all about that. Rudy golfs year round too. Well, Teresa, you didn't know he was golfing last winter? Yeah, he was. He's a troublemaker. In Ephesians chapter 1, but I was thinking this last week about all the negatives that's gone on, and sometimes the negatives become so overwhelming, you forget the positives. You forget that God's a God of blessing. God's a God of grace. God's a God of favor. You can always find something to thank God for. Always can. You never have to run your mind too far down your previous experience to find something to give thanks for. And thanks is an awesome principle. Giving thanks is an awesome principle because it does so much. It introduces you to a whole new realm of thinking. You're no longer concerned about the negative. You're thinking about the positive. Changes your perspective. Changes your attitude. It affects people who are around you. Do you know that a stinky attitude, everybody gets infected by that. So if you're inclined to have a stinky attitude about life, you need to realize that you're affecting other people. Look at somebody and say, he's not talking about me. But as I was, the thought crossed my mind this week as I was meditating on these things, and that is that God is just constantly pouring out good things into our life. Constantly doing it. And oftentimes we lose so much valuable time complaining and being upset over what we don't like that we lose the opportunity to tell the Father God we're thankful for what He has been doing in our lives. And if you can't remember what He's done, just say, thank you, Jesus, for everything. That gets it all. Amen? Now here in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, the Apostle Paul is beginning this letter, this introductory part of his letter. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with just a few spiritual blessings. The King James says, all spiritual blessings. What does your version say? Every spiritual blessing. That means that there are no exceptions. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing. Where at? In heavenlies, or the heavenly places in Christ. Now that's the problem, you see. All those blessings we want are up in heaven. Is that what it says? That's what it sounds like for some people. But you see, if we are in Christ, and Paul makes that point here in this version, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, that means that when you got born again, you were placed in Christ. So that means the blessings that the Father God has given you in Christ in the heavenlies, because that's where Jesus is right now. You're here on earth and he's up there. But because of the word, he's on the inside of us. Which means then that the blessings in the heavenlies are in our hearts. They're here right now. How do they get out? How do those blessings get out of our heart? Huh? Through your mouth. Everybody say, through my mouth. See, your mouth is not just good for eating and talking. It's good for praising. And Scripture says that when we speak words, we sow seeds. And whatever is filled with the seeds is the kind of harvest you get. So if you sow blessing seeds, that's what you get. If you sow griping seeds, that's what you get. And I might add this. Do you know that a stalk of corn that has on average of 2 to 3 ears of corn on each stalk, do you know that? Did you know there's probably 300 to 500 kernels on each ear of corn? Did you know that? And if there's even 2 ears of corn on a stalk, you know how many seeds it took to grow that stalk? One. In other words, the harvest on the seed you sow is unbelievably in abundance to the one that you sow. So if you're wondering where all the garbage has been coming from in your life, check your mouth. Find out how much you've been thanking God for the blessings as opposed to griping because everything's not going the way you want it. We know the Bible says that God inhabits the gripes and complaints of his people. Is that what it says? No, God inhabits the praises of his people. So Paul is trying to make a point, is making a point, that God has blessed us with everything you could possibly ever want. And those blessings are located in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go over to Ephesians, don't go there. I mean, if you read Ephesians chapter 2, it says that Jesus Christ was identified with us in his death, and in his resurrection, we've been identified with him, and we've been raised, and we have been seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. So all the blessings that you could possibly want belong to us right now. You don't have to wait to get to heaven in order to get these blessings. You can start right now. And the way we start right now is, first of all, recognizing where they're located. They're located right here in our heart, because that's where Jesus is. Then he says, praising him for those blessings. Let those expressions come out of your mouth. Sow those seeds. Sow them in your life. Sow them in the lives of people that you don't like. Sow them in the lives of people that you do like. But sow them. The farmer that keeps his seed in the barn doesn't have a harvest. So if you want a harvest of God's blessing, start giving thanks for His blessings. And they're blessings that are yours, right? You own them right now. They belong to you right now. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven. They belong to you right now because you're in Christ, and those blessings have been given to us in Christ. I know this is profound, and I know you've never heard this before. According as He has chosen Him, chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of God of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now this is important, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Everybody say grace. Wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. You don't have to do anything more than what you've done to be accepted in the Beloved. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, you are placed into the body of Christ. And that placing in the body of Christ makes you accepted with God the Father. Now, what this meant a whole lot more to Paul than what it means to us most of the time. Paul understood the idea of separation between God and man. He understood the significance of the tabernacle and the most holy place. He understood the significance of the curtain that was before the most holy place, and the priest was the only one who was allowed to go into that place only one time a year. Only one time a year. The rest of the time, the closest he could come would be into the holy place. And Paul understood when he was talking about that we've been accepted in the Beloved, he understood the significance of that because he lived in a lifestyle of always trying to make himself acceptable to God. He discovered on the Damascus Road and following the revelations that he received that in Christ, we have been accepted in the heart of the Father. We are His children. He is our Father. He's no longer just Yahweh. He's no longer just Jehovah hyphen all the names that He is Father God. When you understand that He's Father, He's not just God. He's no longer some distant character that you hope you might make happy enough to get what you want if you pray long and hard enough. Remember in the Gospels where Jesus was describing the woman who went to the unjust judge wanting recompense for punishment she had received from her enemies? Remember that story? How many remember that story? How many not going to raise your hand no matter what I ask? Well, that's a parable. I think it's might be Luke 18. Not sure. Anyway. It's in the Gospel of Luke. But anyway, the just judge said, I've got to answer this woman because she's going to bug me to the point to where she actually might do physical harm to my body. You don't mess around with a woman who wants something bad enough. She'll smack you upside the head if you don't give in to her. I hear some husbands saying amen. That's worrisome. We might need to do some counseling here. And Jesus makes the statement. He says, you need to understand something. Your Heavenly Father's not like that. He won't resist answering you. He won't hold back. He will speedily respond to you. Your Father's interested in you. Do you know that? Your Father is genuinely interested in whatever you're going through in your life. And if you're willing to simply start talking to Him and start thanking Him for all of the good that He's already done. Here's the thought. Excuse me. Thank you. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the Father blesses the just and the unjust. Whether you know it or not, your Father started blessing you before you even got born again. If you think you have to get born again in order to receive a blessing from God, you don't know God. I used to ask a question. I tried to get out of it because it's a bad question. When I discovered that truth, it's been a long time ago, but it took me a while for it to change the way I talk. I had a habit of asking people when they would say, "Would you pray for somebody?" I had a habit of asking, "Well, is she born? Are they born again?" And I realized that, according to Scripture, it doesn't make any difference whether you're born again or you're an ungodly sinner. You pray for everybody. And praying for that ungodly sinner and having God intervene in the midst of their life might be a means of that person getting born again. And if you will, it's no skin off of God's nose to heal somebody if they're a sinner. If you know they got healed, you better follow up that healing or follow up that prayer with praying for them. Good preacher, Pastor. I was thinking about this, and I began doing research on it. I discovered that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God has always been a God of grace. God didn't begin becoming a God of grace when Jesus came. God was a God of grace clear back in the book of Genesis. The first place that the word grace is used in the Bible as we understand it was when it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God was giving grace way back before the flood. He has repeated that over and over and over again, giving people grace. And it doesn't... See, if God wants to extend favor and grace into a person's life, that's His business, not ours. And if we would restructure our thinking that God's a good God, the devil's a bad devil. You know, Oral Roberts got that for me. You know that, don't you? Yeah. God's a good God. Devil's a bad devil. Devil wants to do bad things to you. God wants to do good things to you and for you. And as I was meditating on this week, I thought, God, how often do we fail to simply say thank you? I think sometimes we say thank you to the waitresses in our restaurants more than we do God. And sometimes we don't even do that. If you don't believe me, ask my daughter. She used to be a waitress. I'm saying, God, change our attitude. Last week we talked about magnifying God, making God bigger than your problem. Making God bigger than your problem. Making God bigger than your problem. Now, you're not making God bigger in terms of His size. You're making God bigger in terms of your perspective. When you start seeing God for who He is, you start seeing your problems for who they are. And in this particular portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is laying groundwork to let you know that you know something? I love what he says over here in chapter 3. He says, "Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. I mean, you talk about redundancy. I mean, he wanted to make the point. We serve a great, big, awesome God. And God is saying to the church, we need to start thinking in terms of how big He is. We get wrapped up in our problems, and we become so preoccupied with fixing our problems and responding to our problems that our problems become our God. And God says, "I'm God, not your problems. I'm the awesome God, not your problem." And so when we look at the idea of giving thanks, it says in Luke 22 when Jesus met with his disciples, He took the bread. It says, and he blessed it. And he gave it to him. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, and Matthew says that he blessed it. And he says, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought, I wonder if we've ever sat down and really thought through all the stuff we get when we get born again. I heard this said the other night. They said, I want to know what we get. I thought, that's just the way we think. Every agreement we have, every situation we entered into, what do I get? How many of you ever get these promotions in the mail, and they say if you sign up for a credit card, you'll get a bunch of stuff? How many of us just simply discard those? I don't. I want to find out what I'm getting. So if I got time, I'll kind of look through what they're sending, say, nah, I don't need that, and then I throw it away. But in the back of my mind, when someone offers me something for free, I want to find out what it is. Who are you talking to? You carrying on your own conversation? Put a hook in my nose, put no hook in my jaw. If they're telling me they want to give me something, I just want to find out if they mean it. And I don't have to buy anything. It's free. All I got to do is say, send me a card, and I get all that goody stuff. I have enough willpower to cut the card up when I get it. Hey, man, one time I got a real nice attaché case just for signing up for something free. Some of that stuff's not bad, you know. But I was thinking, what are the stuff we get? And I love what the psalmist David says in Psalm 103. He says, bless the Lord. Say good things about God. That's what giving thanks is, Lord. Thank you. I mean, Jesus gave thanks. That's why we call this the Eucharist. Because the Eucharisto in the Greek means to give thanks. So when he blessed it, he gave thanks. He said, thank you, Father God. Thank you, God, for the brokenness of my body. Thank you, Lord, for the shedding of my blood, because I know that I'm going to be able to encounter these people in the kingdom later on. Remember, he makes a statement, I will not drink this again until later in the kingdom. Remember when he said that? Remember when he said that? You ever wonder what he meant by it? What he meant by it was, he said, you know what, Father? I thank you for this, because of this, I'm going to be able to literally have my body multiplied, and I'm going to be able to have eat the bread and drink the wine with them in the kingdom of God. Amen. You see, he was looking ahead. You see, his idea wasn't... If you read Hebrews, it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him. Not the joy of the suffering, not the joy of the pain, but the joy of your relationship with him on the other side of the cross. You see, he didn't get stuck by at the moment complaining about the problem. It had to be horrendous to think about the pain that he was going to suffer and the excruciating torment he was going to go through. That has to be beyond our minds to be able to wrap our brains around it. But just referring to that, he's referring to what was going to take place on the other side of the cross. On the other side of the cross was resurrection. On the other side of the cross was reunion with the Father. On the other side of the cross was introduction of you into his life. That's why he can stand now and say, I have brethren, because before that, he didn't have any. The angels are not the brothers of Jesus. Heaven is not filled with the brothers of Jesus. It's filled with the body of Christ and those who've embrace the blood of Christ. Thank God we are now the brothers of Jesus Christ. and sisters. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. And you know what? I don't even have to suffer for it. I just say yes. And all of his suffering, all of his pain, he says, set aside, he says, come into the family. He doesn't say, no. No, you've got to go through some pain and suffering in order to appreciate the goodness that I'm giving you. There's some rationale behind that, you know. That's why religious systems have been developed in humanity around the world. Go through suffering before you receive acceptance with God. You need to understand that Jesus, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood which is shed. I'll suffer. I just want you to accept the gift that I'm getting ready to give you. And here the psalmist says that he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, from the very depths of my being. You see, religious mentality says, oh yeah, Jesus died. Oh yeah, he went to the cross. Oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. But when you begin to understand and think about it, you say, and then hopefully understand the price that he paid. Wow, he went through that because he loved me. And I wasn't even born yet. Romans 5 says, inasmuch as Christ died, even before we were born, the Father God loved us. Jesus died for us before. Why we're yet sinners? Folks, we've got the best deal going. Amen. Can't think of anything better than realize that I am qualified to spend eternity with the Father in an environment that is perfect. No more partial hip replacements. No more flu and respiratory issues. No more strokes. Hello? No more anything that is related to this sinful world. It's gone. And I'm gonna live in a structure of some kind that's been made by the Father God Himself. And I'm gonna be able to walk into the presence of the God of the universe and have access to the fact that He's my Father. Amen. Hey man, that is some kind of deal. All he wants me to say is yes. Now the problem isn't between me and God. The problem is between me and me. See, that's the part that me, this here, this is what I have a problem with. I have a problem with God. And God knows that I don't have a problem with him. But he knows I got a problem with myself. So what does he do? He puts himself on the inside of my life. He says, okay, I'm moving in. When Priscilla and I were dating, she was renting a room from a woman. And I very jokingly walked in the house one day and I rubbed the top of a picture that had some dust on it. The woman never let me forget it. I really wasn't coming in to inspect her house. I just was goofing around. She took me serious. But you know, some of you got dust. And you know what? Your Father comes in to wipe the dust away. He just doesn't come in to give you the gift of eternal life. He comes in to clean you up. Hello. Then he moves up here in our brain. Up. When you made that comment during the worship, I love what David says. He says, I will put no evil thing before my eyes. not only your eyes, but your ears, your mouth, putting stuff in. Yeah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. From the depth of who I am, I want to appreciate Him from the very core of my being. I don't want to be just a religious thing that I do on Sunday. I want to be a living reality that every day of the week I am giving thanks in appreciation for what we do here on a Sunday, but who Jesus Christ has become on the inside of who I am. And if you go down through these benefits here, I think they're interesting. He says, He forgives all of thy iniquities. Now, iniquities are not just things we do wrong. Included in this word are those motivations to do wrong. He not only forgives me for what I'm doing wrong, He forgives me for even thinking that way. That's what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, remember? You've heard of old, thou shalt not. I'm telling you that if it's even in your heart, it's sin. That's embodied here in this word here. He says, and He heals some of your diseases. I don't know why God puts those words in there. Well, because He really means that. But what happens? What happens when we don't get it all healed? Whose fault is it? Am I going to blame God? Am I going to point the finger to Him? No, I'm going to suggest that maybe we just need to change the things on our end. Hello? Like, okay, sorry, God, I've been talking bad, talking, complaining, and griping. Lord, I'm going to change the way I'm talking, and thank Your Holy Spirit's going to empower me. I'm going to start being a thanksgiving person. I'm going to change my perspective, Lord, through the revelation that You're giving me here, that You have, Your benefits are that You not only forgive me of all my sin and my want-tos, but Lord, You heal all my diseases. And I'm going to declare that God is the healer until the day I die. Amen. I will never change my mind on that. Amen. And then He says, He will redeem your life from destruction. Now, destruction is simply defined as anything that seeks to tear down and take away from your life value. Anything that's negative in your life. What He wants to do is He wants to redeem. Remember, redemption is not just a statement. Redemption is an end result of paying the price so you can enjoy the benefit. You see, we're abstract thinking people. Words just define themselves and, oh, He redeems. Oh, wonderful, I'm redeemed. No, wait a minute. He went to the cross to pay the cost for your sin so you won't have to. See, that's what redemption is. Redemption is Jesus went to the cross. Redemption is that He paid the penalty for my sin. Redemption is that He suffered the cost of my sin. Redemption is that He came out of an open tomb so that I can with Him. Amen. See, that's what redemption is. Redemption is not just a word that means something that doesn't have some depth to it. We have a tendency to run by words too easily. Words have powerful meaning. He says, He crowns my life, and the Old Testament loving kindness is grace. He crowns my life with grace and tender mercy. He crowns my life. Now, what does a crown mean? Does it mean that He crowns something like you do, crown it with a brick? No, that crown signifies rulership and authority and dominion. In other words, folks, it doesn't matter how much garbage comes into your life, you don't lose control. Because I was never, it's kind of like, you can't lose control that you never had. Think about that for a second. You can't lose control that you never had. You are not in control. If you think you are, you're deceived. Oh, I got to fix this. Well, okay, go ahead and try to fix it, but you may not be able to fix it. How many have some situations in your life that you just really cannot fix? So, in other words, you never were in control to begin with. If you admit that, at least you're on the way to improvement. If you just simply acknowledge, you know what? But God, you are in control. And when God's in control, it doesn't mean he has to explain to you everything he's doing. And he doesn't have to defend himself if something negative crops up in your life. God is in control. I declare in Jesus' name that God is in control. I may not understand how he's processing that control, processing the end result to that control. I may not understand that, but I choose to believe that God is God. He is Almighty God. He's the all-powerful God. He is God who's in charge of my life and all the circumstances that surround my life. I choose to believe that he is who the Word of God says that he is, the Almighty Living God, and that is where my peace is. Hallelujah. And because I believe that I don't have to wear myself out trying to get control. And if what I think is going to give me control, whatever move I may make, when that doesn't happen, that has to be okay. If it's not okay, then that means that you're wanting to be in control. Does that mean that accidents happen? Yes. Does that mean things happen that I didn't plan? Yes. Does that mean that things happen sometimes when I make a bad choice? Yes. But you know what? Part of the blessing of the covenant is that he forgives all of my iniquities. Have you discovered you're not perfect yet? So periodically you might make a mistake. It's not a mistake that's going to send you to hell, but it may have some physical or natural consequences. All right, if you know you made a mistake, Lord, I'm sorry. Now, give me the wisdom I need to get out of this mess. You see, you don't get thrown out of the family because you make a mistake. This is really a good sermon. Not because I'm preaching it, just because it's in the Word. And then he says, and I love that, he crowns me with loving kindness. He crowns me with grace. His divine favor that comes without my worth, any worthiness on my part. But because of that, he gives me a right. You know, over in Revelation, it says, I better say it right, otherwise I'm going to mess up. But he says that in verse 6, Revelation 1:6, and he has made us kings and priests unto God. We are kings and priests unto God. Now, that doesn't mean we're little kings around here, we're going to rule over everything. It just means that in the affairs of my life, he says, I want to place you on a position of authority so that through grace and through the name of Jesus Christ, Paul says we will reign in life through Christ in Romans 5. So, I mean, there's enough places in the Bible where God wants me to rule in my life, but I don't rule on my own. I rule as his representative to myself, if that's possible. In other words, he's in charge. I'm just following his steps as the shepherd, and therefore, through his grace, I'm in charge. In other words, the negative things that happen to me are not going to control who I am. The negative things that happen to me are not going to send me down spiraling out of control. The negative things that happen to me are not going to take charge of my life to where that becomes how my life is defined. I choose to declare that his grace, his mercy are in control in my life. I may not understand all the workings that are going on, But I choose to declare that what I can't control is not going to define my life. What I cannot control is not going to be the last moment that everybody looks and says, phew. There's a word that ministers use, and we call it, it's important to finish strong. Finish strong. I want to finish strong in this walk. I don't want to check out with a major negative in my life. I want to finish strong. On the last day that I breathe, I want to be able to say, okay, Father, I've done my job. I'm coming home. I don't want that moment to be where I've lost control in the sense that my life has just collapsed on me and that I've got a mess that I can't change and I'm heading down the tubes. I don't want that for me. I don't think God wants that for me. And he doesn't want that for you. All right? So he says, he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. That means he satisfies my want to's. But I love what the Bible says. Bible indicates, at least through so many different words, that if I'm running after God, my motives and my attitude will change so that my want to's always reflect his will. Paul said that negative things will happen to us. And he said that because Jesus said that. But the all-overwhelming message of the Scripture is that God is in the process of pouring all kinds of good things into our life. Right this very moment as you sit here in this room, God is pouring good things into your life. God is making changes in you. He's making changes in your physical body. Do you ever think about, even when you're in the midst of a battling with a sickness, that God is healing you? Every time you take those pills that you live on, or that are part of your life, are you declaring, Father, I thank you that I'm being healed of this? That this thing here is temporary? One of the most frustrating words that a man gave me a number of years ago in a hospital, in a doctor's office. He said, Mr. Solomon, he said, you see these pills that I'm prescribing? He says, yeah. I said, yeah. He says, you'll take those the rest of your life. I looked at him, I said, not me. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. You come back here 25 years from now, and you'll be taking those pills. I'm declaring, you know what, Father? I'm declaring that the Word says you're restoring my body. I'm declaring that's what your Word says, Father. You're restoring my body. Okay, now, if your body is enjoying more volume than what it used to, he's not going to automatically take that stuff off you. You're going to have to make a decision about pushing back, you know. Those muscles, those are hard muscles, Russ. You got it? You got to push back. Saying, Father, help me to keep my attitude so that I constantly give you honor for who you are, not what I want you to be. See, he's not the chief butler who's always in the process of handing me whatever I want. What he wants is a full surrender of my life to him. Full surrender. And as we think about this particular moment, when we think about all that he ushered into our, it's like he just gave it to us by us just simply saying, okay, yes, I surrender. And when I surrender, that means I not only surrender my life, but I surrender my future. I surrender the need to control things that are beyond my ability. I surrender my relationships. I surrender my future. I surrender all of the visions I have, all of the things that are important. I surrender those things. Nothing is more important than Jesus sitting on the throne of my life. Nothing is. But he doesn't ascend that throne because he wants to. He has the brute force to make all human beings, all peoples, surrender to his lordship. One day he's going to. One day he's going to force all of humanity to bow to the name of Jesus. But right now, he says, it's your choice. I don't know about you, but I want to make that choice. I want to choose to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want in my life, that's what I want for my life. And one of the things that starts with what we're talking about this week is saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healing. Thank you for taking care of my family. Thank you for all the things that are important to me. Thank you. Because God, I want a right attitude. I want a right focus. I don't just want what I want. I want what you want for me. Amen? Could you bow your heads, please? Father, we thank you. We thank that in this place, Father God, we are simply declaring openly that we belong to you. We are declaring, Father God, that your care and your oversight of our lives is something that you want to do as a priority. It's not something you do simply by accident or just happened to do. Didn't have anything better to do. You just kind of accidentally stepped in and made a difference. Lord, we are a priority with you. As much as we are a priority, our children are a priority with us. You told us that if we being evil know how to give good things to our children, how much more will you desire to give good things to us? So Father, there's just a massive number of good things that you want to do for us, your children. But Lord, we have to be willing to allow you to rule in all matters. I ask you this morning, Father, that you'd speak to each of our hearts. Lord, that there's something that was said this morning that has touched a note in the heart and mind of every person. Lord, I pray right now that as we proceed for this final part of the service, that your Holy Spirit will drill home to us, that you are willing to pay the ultimate price for us. Now you're simply wanting us to respond, to say yes, and to walk away with a thank you, and continue to walk a walk of thanks to you. So in Jesus' name, Father, I pray that as we take this moment to say thank you for the fact that you gave us your body as a sacrifice. You gave us your blood as a means of redemption. As you gave us your whole being as a sacrifice so that we could walk free from the curse of sin and death. That, Father, we walk free. We will walk free from the bondages that the enemy had brought into our lives. And now we're free. Now we're thanking you, Father, this day. And you said that as often as we do this, to remember you, not just what you did, but remember you, the person of Jesus Christ. Because you were willing, Lord God, to pay the price. You didn't have to, but you loved us because we were your creation. And we were living in sin, but you loved us. And now we choose to respond to you by saying, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Would you guys come to the piano and organ, please? And we're going to do the last song we did in worship this morning, Give Thanks. And as we sing this song, I'd like for you to stand and come forward, and we're going to receive the cup and receive the bread. Pull that back a little bit so it doesn't pull that cord back. Pull the cord back. There you go. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Give thanks with a grateful heart. give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, we give You thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Oh, let the weak
say, I am rich,
because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am poor. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. O Lord, we give You thanks. Hallelujah, Lord. Give thanks. Oh, thank You, Lord. Give thanks. Hallelujah, we give You thanks, Lord. We give You praise. We give You honor, Lord. Areba la bayando, la bayande. Ibrese le bayandai. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we magnify You, Lord. We magnify Your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. The psalmist says, forget not. Forget not His benefits. That's not an option. That's a command. I challenge you to not forget. I give you a challenge to constantly remember the awesomeness of His presence. Let's sing this again as we do. Would you come forward? Please receive the cup. Come down here and just spread this way as we do. Give thanks
with a grateful heart,
give thanks
to the Holy One.
Give thanks
because
he's given
Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks
to the Holy One.
Give thanks
because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son.
And now
let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich.
See, because of what the Lord has done
for us. And now
let the weak
say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us.
Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks
to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given
Jesus Christ, his Son.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given
Jesus Christ,
his Son.
And now
let the weak
say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done. Let the weak say I am strong.
Let the poor say I am rich.
Because of what the Lord has done for us.
Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks to the Holy One.
Give thanks because he's given
Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now
let the weak say I am strong.
Let the poor say I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
We give you thanks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise and adoration. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. O rabato la baba la baya de le meche. La barremando la baba sande. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord. We praise and worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ile balamando la baya la bendeshe. Ile balamando la baba bayanso. Ile brasse la babanda la bayandete. Ile brasso la brosso leonde. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed. Thank you for the body that was broken for our healing, for the restoration of our lives, Father. Thank you for forgiving of our sins, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, Father. Thank you for healing our bodies, Lord. We give you thanks this day for all the benefits that you have made known to us in the Word, Lord. And we say, Father, we will not forget, Lord. We will be reminded daily of your goodness and your mercy. Lord, it's not just a moment in our calendar, Lord. It's an attitude of thankfulness that we need to walk in daily, continual, Lord. God, stir that in our hearts to be a thankful people in Jesus' name. Constantly, Lord, declaring our thanks to you for the goodness you've brought into our lives, Lord. Mindful of what you need to do in our bodies, in our homes, in our marriages, Lord, in our finances, in our lives. But Lord, reminding ourselves daily, we will give you thanks for all that you have done, Father. Not just what we need for the moment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, you said that you broke your body was broken for our healing, for our salvation, for our deliverance. Blood was shed, Lord, for us to experience your goodness. Life with you forever. Father, we thank you for those things right now. We offer thanks to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We ask you to bless the bread and bless the cup right now, Lord, as we partake. Father, may it be something, Father, that reminds us always, not just this moment, but continually reminds us of the benefits of knowing you, the benefits of being your children, the benefits of being part of your family. We ask you to bless these elements, Lord, in Jesus' name. You may take the bread. You may take the cup. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Mate krishka pala batoya mashende. Marabato kribaliondo la babayoshe. Lord, don't let the moment pass. Penetrate our hearts right now, Father. Penetrate our hearts. Penetrate our hearts, Lord. With the revelation that each of us need to have concerning the issue that we face right now, Lord. Don't let this moment pass. That we allow ourselves to slip away and God fail to focus that you are the answer for what we face. Oh, some of us face healing needs. Some of us face marriage needs, Lord. Some of us face money needs. Some of us face, Lord, a variety of things that you know about. May there be a revelation of your Holy Spirit right now, Father, to penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rabataka Babate. We're open to you, Holy Spirit, right now. We're open to you, Holy Spirit, right now. Speak to us. Penetrate our hearts, Holy Spirit. Oh, penetrate, Lord God, at the very core of our beings, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You've got one hand holding a cup. You've got another free hand. Would you just take that and touch somebody's shoulder? Would you just begin to pray for him right now, Father? We pray for this one on our right or our left. We pray for them, Father. May your Holy Spirit touch their hearts, their minds, their bodies. God, we pray according to your word, if two of us shall agree, as touching anything that we shall ask, it shall be done for them which of my Father which is in heaven. Lord, we're touching one another right now. We're touching one another right now, Father. We're praying, Father, for a breakthrough of your Holy Spirit, a breakthrough, Lord God, of blessing, a breakthrough, Lord God, of material things that they're in need of, healing that they're in need of, peace in their minds that they're in need of, wisdom, Lord God, that they're in need of, an answer, Father, to a question that they need. Lord, you know each and every one of us right where we're at. We simply say, Father, penetrate our hearts. Penetrate our hearts, Lord, with the provision of this redemption, Lord. The benefit, Lord God. May our hearts be touched by the power of your Holy Spirit right this moment in the name of Jesus. Right this moment, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now take that hand, just raise it upwards, and let's say, thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, right now. We thank you, Father, this very moment. You're making a difference in somebody's life. You're touching them, Lord God, at the very core of their being right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare Satan's power is bound. His power is broken. His control, Lord God, is overthrown. Right now, Heavenly Father, you are doing a miracle in these lives. In Jesus' name, you are doing a miracle in every life in this place right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We will not forget your benefits. We will not forget your benefits. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to remind us every day. We ask you, Father. We put ourselves in a position to ask you every day. Put ourselves in a position for you to remind us every day that, Father God, you are blessing some part of our lives. Whether we've asked for it or whether we've not asked for it. Whether we're focused on one area, Lord, you can touch any area you want. But we ask you, Lord, to remind us. Say it with me. Father, remind me every day in some way that you've touched my life. You've poured into my being the goodness from our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now with that hand that you still got free, give somebody a high five.